Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
If and when Porzingis gets hurt, they're still good enough to win.
I so don't feel that way.
For anybody who wants to ask, I haven't gotten an update on Porzingis yet, so we can save the time.
Porzingis leaves takes it to the basket.
I don't think Al Horford is going to be able to sustain that. Like, he doesn't look like somebody that I want to depend on in the playoffs.
He didn't look that way
in the playoffs last year either. You are if Kristaps Porzingis is
out there. No, you're not. You still have Tatum and Brown.
Something bad happened.
That is not good.
You don't think it's a problem not to have a big out there?
I think Horford is fine, is what I'm telling you. And he's probably better there than off the bench because he's probably grousing about coming off the bench.
I think this is a wild take.
Okay. Now it might just be reality. That was from right at the start of Celtics season. Kristaps Porzingis leaves last night. Is it an ankle injury? Is it a calf injury? Is it both? Is he built to get through a playoff run? And how much are the Celtics relying on him? It's something we've talked about here today on Jones and Mego with Arkan. It's our big question of the day. Up now at Jones and Mego on Twitter. Can the Celtics win a championship without Porzingis? You heard my answer. Yes, it remains the same. Mego, your answer still no?
Still no. I haven't changed it in the last 2 hours.
Okay. 55% agree with me. 45% agree with Mego and Arkan. You're also a no, Arkan.
You were also a no.
You were clipped out of that from earlier this year. Although Ryan tells me you didn't really say much.
No, you really didn't.
Yeah, well. I was probably doing something really important.
You're just biding your time for this moment right now to weigh in. You don't think they can win without Porzingis?
I don't think so, no. I think that the reason they brought him in here was to help Brown and Tatum because those guys have proven that they need that help, and without it, I think they're in trouble. I thought it was going to be tough for them even with Porzingis. So, yeah, I think they're really in trouble without him.
Okay. Why don't you think they can win, Mego, without him?
Because Porzingis is just, he's somebody that they don't have very much redundancy for on the entire roster. Like, basically, you go to Al Horford, who's 37. He's been playing limited minutes. He played 30 last night. I don't know if that's a sustainable path. If it takes several weeks, a long time for Porzingis to come back, if he doesn't come back until the Eastern Conference Finals, you're putting a lot of miles on Horford. And quite frankly, I don't really like the options of Luke Kornet and Xavier Tillman as the stopgaps after that. When you're, I know the Eastern Conference is like, to me, it doesn't really compare to some of the big bads out West, but I still don't want to see those guys playing extended minutes in the playoffs. Like, it's not like losing Jaylen where, yeah, Jaylen is more talented than Kristaps Porzingis. I would still say he's the second most talented guy on the team, but I think Porzingis is the second most important, and I think I've been saying that since that clip in November.
So are they good enough to win without Jaylen?
No.
Okay.
What?
I'm just saying. So I was just curious where it all came into the – if Porzingis is ahead of Jaylen.
Here's the thing with this team, Joe.
Do you think they're good enough to win without Jaylen?
No.
Okay.
I think it's about Tatum and Brown. I'm not getting to their third, fourth, fifth, sixth guy. It's about Tatum and Brown.
It's never been just about Tatum and Brown. If with this team, it's about the starting five, and it might be about the six-man rotation. That's the strength of this team.
If they need a 3-4-5-6 and the right coach, I know you harp on the coach all the time.
I didn't say anything about that today.
No, but you have in the past.
You add that too,
but you've brought it up in the past. So if it's about all those other things, then it's not really about them. And they're never going to win. If they can't win with what they have right now, with or without Porzingis, they're not going to win. Like, Derek White just went off for 38 last night. He's like the 4 or 5 on this team.
And so they have plenty of talent beyond Tatum and Brown. Tatum and Brown are talented enough. Charles Barkley called them both top 10 players in the league last night. Now, maybe you disagree with that.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
That's what Chuck said. They're both top 10 players in the league. So you have two top 10 players. Derek White was awesome.
Well, I don't think so.
Al Horford is a former All-Star who I think most teams would love to have as a Porzingis replacement. Okay. Drew Holiday has won a championship before.
Yeah, I like Drew Holiday.
Okay, you're not going to rip that
well,
one?
Well, he's not a big. He's not Kristaps Porzingis, so I don't really know what that has to do with it.
I just, they have enough talent. What do you mean? The talent goes beyond
Drew
just Holiday's Porzingis.
Drew Holiday's going to replace what Kristaps Porzingis
does? No, Al Horford is going
to
replace
that. Okay, then why are you bringing up Drew Holiday?
Because they have so much more talent beyond just their top two, Mego. They
but
have enough talent.
It's not just about talent, Jones. It's about how you match up against Jokic, who's a freaking nightmare.
Horford, that's how they match
up. Horford's going to match up against
Jokic. Is Porzingis going to guard Jokic?
No.
Okay, so then what's the difference?
Because Porzingis does other stuff. He spaces the floor. It's the same thing going against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going against Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, and Porzingis could match up against Jokic at some points, I don't really think that he's going to be the primary defender on him, but I also don't see Al Horford as undertaking that by himself.
Okay, no one's probably shutting down Jokic is the real answer, and Horford will spread the floor. He's not as good as Porzingis, I'm not telling you that, but I think they're good enough to win without Porzingis. They did it all year. They were 21-4 without him. We went through the schedule earlier. There's a lot of good teams on there, including your Timberwolves.
Yeah, how were they against Denver in the regular
season?
Talking about the regular season.
Well, they lost two games with Porzingis, so maybe
he hurt him. So they're 0-2 against Denver this regular season that you're citing.
With Porzingis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they may not even win with Porzingis.
So why don't they just bench Porzingis then, Jeff?
This is what I'm saying. I don't think they need Porzingis to win. So again, the majority agrees with me, not you two. 617-779-7937. Here's an update from Woj just about an hour ago.
We'll start here. I was told last night that the early estimation was, that this was not an Achilles injury. And certainly, you know, that's always the initial fear when you see a player reach back, you know, in that calf Achilles area. But you know, he's back in Boston. He's still undergoing imaging, the evaluation of that today. And then the Celtics will have a better sense of how severe this calf strain is. Right now for the Celtics, listen, the hope is that this is not such a serious injury that they've lost Kristaps Porzingis for the season, but they're still evaluating.
Okay. It's basically what he tweeted last night. Not a ton of new info there, just that they're still waiting, which scares you, Arkan.
Scares the hell out of me. It's almost 5 o'clock, and they haven't gotten an MRI. They haven't gotten the results back of an MRI. Whatever, it's 4 o'clock. They have somewhat, it's very late in the day, is my point here, for them to still be waiting
on
this kind of
imaging. In Nova Scotia, it's 5 o'clock, okay?
Somewhere it's 5. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Here it's 4 o'clock. But either way, it's well past the time, I think, that's acceptable for everybody to be sitting around going, gee, you know, we're waiting for the MRI results to come back. You're a professional basketball team. We should know what these results are. The fact that they're not telling us now, well into the 4 o'clock, soon to be 5 o'clock hour, I think is troubling.
Okay.
Excuse me.
That was very Arkandish. I don't think it's an Achilles injury, you know, meaning like a ruptured torn Achilles. I mean, there might be something going on with his Achilles in his calf, and that's very possible, but it's not ruptured. It's not a season ending injury. They would know by now. So I think the lack of news on that actually is good, but you said earlier, Arkan, you think it might be an ankle. Woj very clearly said calf. The team has said calf. There might be going on than just one injury. And that, to me, is the point with Porzingis. This is why I said this in October. If they need Porzingis to win, number one, that means Tatum and Brown just aren't good enough to win. And number two, you're relying on something that I don't think is realistic. I expected this to happen to Porzingis.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I agree with you. It's kind of like the deal with the devil that Brad Stevens was making last summer that we all talked about. It was okay. And for me, it's more extreme than it is for you, Jones, because I'm like, yeah, if you can keep Porzingis healthy, that's the whole deal with him. That's the whole deal with him. And maybe this is like, I don't know, to have some silver lining. Maybe this is just a milder strain in the calf than everybody thinks it is. And so it'll be a little bit of a warning. Hey, you know, you got to save this guy a little bit.
They
I know everybody hates that.
But they have been doing that.
I know, but maybe in a different way.
How?
Like maybe you have a bigs rotation. It's like the Bruins and you have a bigs rotation and then the bigs do a hug at the end where they press their belly buttons together.
They've been managing him all year. I don't think you can manage Porzingis any more than they managed him. And they've managed Horford too, which is why Horford should be fresh for this run. I'm sorry. I think Tatum, Brown, White, Holiday, Horford, I think that's enough to win a championship.
Okay, I accept your apology.
And if you don't, you don't. I think that's enough to win a championship. I felt that way all year. Meanwhile, we have Rob Bradford standing by at 4:30. We'll get some updates on the Red Sox. There are some of them. Your Celtics phone calls and NFL draft phone calls in the meantime. Ooh. Harrison is in Seekonk. What's going on, Harrison?
Not doing too shabby. I noticed that you guys had Thor Nystrom on for a chat, and I'm glad that you talked about I'm really glad he talked about Javon Baker, because the traits that he sees in him is something that I think the Patriots have been lacking for a long time. And maybe that has to do with Bill Belichick kind of keeping wide receivers in check, doesn't want them to be too obnoxious and stuff. But, hey, I kind of want my receiver to be a little bit cocky, and if Javon Baker brings that to this new regime, I'm all for it.
If you missed Thor Nystrom earlier today, he compared him to Stephon Diggs. Attitude-wise, I don't think it was purely about his play.
Which is like the worst thing to be compared to Stephon
okay.
Diggs.
But like Stephon Diggs' attitude, meaning he expects to come in, he's going to dominate. Diggs, I think, was a fifth-round pick. And so this guy's a fourth-round pick. And he's going to come in and prove to you that I deserve to be here. Now, look, if the Patriots in 4, 5, 6 years get in a contract dispute with Javon Baker because he's one of the best receivers in the league, I think we'll all take that problem. But he was saying the attitude of him being on the field, I'm going to prove it to you, is similar to Steph Diggs, was his comparison.
Yeah, I would rather hear that he's being compared to on the field, but he was, here's my thing. He was so positive about Baker. Why did he give him an F? And then he explains, oh, he has this skill where he has to assign certain grades to every team. And I'm like, feels like you should have at least given them like a D plus or something for how much you love this pick that you think is a steal.
Yeah, but it was about where he got picked.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't think, you know what I mean? Like, if he thought that, you know, you really got a good deal there, but that you reached on everybody else, grades, then the accumulation of it would be the
He
bad
grades
grade.
On a curve. Like, yeah. two teams are going to have great drafts, two teams are going to have poor drafts. That's the way he does it. If you don't like the system, at least he graded it. What did you grade it again, Mego?
I don't grade this. It's incomplete.
Arken, since you did the assignment, what's your grade?
I gave it a C, which is Weasley, but that it would have been lower, but I liked that they went all offense.
I gave it a grade.
Why do you think that's Weasley?
Because it's right in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
How you feel?
So I don't know if it's Weasley. It's just it's pretty boring. It's like a B is how I would grade it, purely on Drake May. Like it'd be if I love
it'd be a very exciting B.
If their draft would be an A if I liked all the other picks.
Whoa!
I don't like most of the other picks. I mean, Arken, you didn't like your own grade. So I would give it a B, and I'm higher on it than most people, at least compared to Thor and Arken. And if Mego would ever grade it, I'm the highest on the draft, I guess, by default. But it's all about Drake May.
We both got grade shamed by Thork. Is what happened. A C, a B, an incomplete. Thork comes in with the F. He's like, I'm giving you an F.
Do you even know
the
about
extreme take?
Do you even know about return on investment?
I do not. Joe, I hadn't even thought of that.
Joe is in Littleton. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey guys.
Hey Joe.
I couldn't agree more with Thor. I mean, look, May was you had to pick May. They bombed on the second round. The third round pick was horrible. Yeah, the fourth round pick could be nice, but you know, one of the things he said was, well, you know, no harm, no foul, because maybe you guys said it. No harm, no foul. He didn't get on the field at Alabama. Well, guess what, guys? He didn't get on the field at Alabama. If he was good, he would have gotten on the field at Alabama.
Yeah, so I thought that was inconsistent in his commentary. And I think that was fair. I forget who pointed it out in the Twitch chat, but as he was saying it, he's like describing Javon Baker getting an opportunity. And he goes, well, when he got an opportunity, he thrived. But he also ripped Jalen Polk for doing that. I mean, when Polk got an opportunity, he thrived. Now, how Thor explained that when I pressed him on it was Polk just went right back. When Jalen McMillan came back at Washington, Polk just went right back to his number three role. Javon Baker, once he was given the opportunity, never gave it back. That's how he explained it. I think some of it's the athleticism and the traits, too, which Polk does not have.
Good hands, though.
Apparently great hands. Apparently. So how do you feel about the Patriots draft? When will we see Drake May out on the field? You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Along with our big question of the day, these two are fraidy cats. They don't think the Celtics can win without Kristaps Porzingis. So you better hope he's going to be back out there or else pack it in for the rest of the postseason run. You can jump in on that. We also have Rob Bradford standing by with the latest on the Red Sox. A lot of roster updates on the Red Sox. Some good, some not so much. Arken has details and trending. Right.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Follow the socials at Jones and Mego.
Check it out in the Jones and Mego page as well. You can vote in the big Q in two and then see Arkansas AI renderings of Mego bathing in a chicken pot pie with Marcus Smart.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Tatum, keeping the dribble. Now gives it up. Gets it back. Oh, hey, you can't do that. You cannot do that. This is all nonsense going on right here.
Tatum decided to shoot the ball, and Bam Adebayo decided to contest the shot all after the foul was called.
This is nonsense.
This could be real trouble.
You're not going to let the guy just get a warm-up shot to get ready for the next one. I don't think there's anything there.
Man, that's bad, man. Look at right that there, right there. Yeah. That is messed up.
To me, Jason Tatum doesn't need to be shooting that. To me, that's on Jason Tatum.
Tatum's just shooting it. Oh, man, that's weak. That is weak.
You don't want this? Then don't shoot the ball.
So that's Stan Van Gundy. And I know a lot of Celtics fans hated that commentary if you were listening on TNT last night, as I was. And I'll be honest, I don't know why. I made a conscious effort to be listening to NBC Sports Boston, number one, because we talked to Scal on Wednesdays. And number two, because they're the last games Gorman's going to be doing. But for some reason, I was watching on TNT last night.
You don't want this?
You know who agrees with him? Missoula. For as much as you hate that commentary, and I know you all hate it.
Not us, though.
Missoula agrees.
Okay, not me.
Missoula doesn't want people shooting and heating up in between the whistles. And so Missoula and his coaches, until they were talked to, maybe by the league, maybe by Brad Stevens, I have no idea who talked to him. Until they were told to stop doing it, the coaches were flying around doing it. Now, Arkan, I know you said earlier no one got hurt or close to getting hurt. Tatum didn't get hurt last night either. But
that's a fair point.
They could have.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they could have if he had done the same thing that Bam Adebayo did.
Who's got better body control? And now maybe this is an inadvertent criticism of Bam and doing it intentionally, but who's got better body control? Missoula flailing around or Bam Adebayo?
Bam Adebayo, which is why it's worse. Yeah.
So it might look, it might be a dirty play. No, it's worse because a coach was doing it versus a guy who's actually on the court and supposed to be on the court.
No, it's worse because one's a flagrant foul and the other's a guy being a doofus. It's two different things.
Missoula's lucky he didn't have a flagrant foul and land under someone's foot. Like, he's lucky that didn't happen.
He's lucky
to him.
If you think that Bam Adebayo didn't do it on purpose, which I guess you can if you want. But
I think it's borderline. If you want to,
whenever anybody does that, I think it's on purpose.
If you want to tell me Bam did it on purpose, then fine. I'm not sold on that. Only because
it's not like it's a new rule. It's been a rule for like 5 years.
Only because him and but what I'm saying is, you know who agrees that Tatum shouldn't have shot that and Bam should have tried to block it? Missoula.
Okay, so try Missoula and block it. You don't land where the guy's about to land and have him land on your foot. That's a flagrant foul, Jones.
Okay. Well, sometimes
didn't do that.
When you're doing dumb stuff in between the whistles, sometimes you end up rolling an ankle. And Tatum's fine, by the way. Just like he was fine last year in Game 7. He's fine. So all the crying over it is a bit much, but Mazzulla agrees with Van Gundy for all the criticism he got.
That stuff gets me excited.
Your head coach agrees with him, for God's sakes.
Yeah, look, from Bam's perspective, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what he was thinking. To me, I didn't take it as a dirty play. I just thought it was really stupid of him. I thought it was a really stupid in-the-moment, like, decision that he made. But where I think a lot of the sensitivity from Celtics fans is coming from is that this is the second time in this series against the Heat that it's the very last minutes of the game and somebody – and Jason Tatum, your star, is on the receiving end of some weird physical quasi, you know, walking the line of dirty play. It was Caleb Martin in the first game. Now you have these shenanigans with the dead ball that he's shooting with Bam Adebayo, who's been setting these, like, moving screens, questionable screens, the entire series. So I think people are already a little bit fed up with him in this area. I get it. But I don't think it was dirty. I think it was just dumb.
Okay. The only reason I give Bam the benefit of the doubt, I know him and Tatum are tight. I know that. And so I don't think he would intentionally try to hurt his buddy. That's the only reason. If they weren't friendly and they didn't have a relationship, then I would say, yeah, that's a dirty play. When Ginobili did it, I think it's a dirty play. Horford, when he did it in the finals a couple of years ago against the Warriors, dirty play.
Bruce Bowen used to do it all the time.
Maybe, so I said Ginobili. Maybe it was Bowen, actually. Yeah, I take Bowen it back. Maybe that's who it. I was thinking of.
It was Zaza Pachulia is the one that got the rule changed.
Yeah, so like I know they have a relationship. I don't think he would intentionally hurt his buddy. That's all. Maybe I have that wrong. I think it was a very borderline play by Bam. But when your coach is flying around doing it and he wants his players to do it, you can't really cry about Stan Van Gundy saying the same exact thing
don't
on the broadcast. Meanwhile, you know, it's just in my inbox. From the Patriots. Tickets to Tom Brady's Patriots Hall of Fame induction ceremony goes on sale May 2nd.
So that's the general public?
Yep. Limited number of tickets were reserved for general sale. Reserved.
Tom Brady deserves more.
They'll be available through Ticketmaster.
How much are tickets to the roast?
Where you're going to get gouged.
That's what I want.
How much are tickets to the roast? Can
you
buy tickets to
that? I don't know. I have no idea. I know it's on Netflix.
Was it already filmed?
It was definitely already filmed.
Has it been
on Sunday?
Let me my guess.
Netflix can't do live stuff. We learned this from the Love Is Blind reunion 2 years ago.
Isn't Netflix doing that Tyson fight?
Uh-oh.
And
a
Cat Williams special.
Yeah, I think they are doing live.
John Mulaney and Conan, they're doing a bunch of live stuff.
I was just asking if it was recorded. I have no idea. You're telling me you think it's live.
I have no idea if it's live. I just know they're doing live stuff, and it seems like, you know.
Okay.
Do we think that roast is going to be good?
No.
No chance.
Yeah, I do not have high hopes for it.
Not a lot of comedians in it, really.
Okay.
That's usually a problem.
One or two. Yeah.
Well, if you want to try your luck and give the Crafts a whole bunch of money, you can go buy your tickets to the Brady ceremony. I don't think they're going to be cheap. They go on sale on Thursday.
Live special will air on May 5th. It's live. Yeah, it's
okay.
A live special.
Interesting.
Okay, let's go to some phone calls here. Derek is in Manchester. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, guys. I'll make it quick here. I think the Celtics should walk through their way through the East. It's just the East looks terrible right now. Even with the injury, they're still a way better team. As well as the Lakers led the Nuggets 165 minutes and only trailed by 59. I think that the Celtics are much better at closing games than the Lakers are. They're coming from a different quality.
Well, I wouldn't go too far with that, but I did get a lot of texts like this earlier in the show. I set them aside. We can read them. But 37937, there were a lot of these. The Nuggets barely got past the Lakers.
Barely?
Like, the Lakers gave two of those were game winners.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I know, but they make the game winners.
Okay, so
the Lakers played an astounding amount of dumb basketball
in
that series.
Trust me. I've tweeted now after both game winners that Jamal Murray hit. I'm like, I wish Tatum would do this. I've done the exact same thing both times. But, like, it's not like they ran away. They had trouble with the effing Lakers is the point. And so you're turning them into, like, an unbeatable team. The Lakers almost beat them.
Yeah. Look what you did against the Heat. Like, you're playing. I think that you're an extremely talented team.
They've blown out the Heat three times.
I know, but you lost
them once.
The game.
Yeah, but the other three were blowouts. I mean, the Nuggets didn't blow out the Lakers. They were trailing by 20 in a bunch of those games.
Even though I underrate a little bit LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I still think that's a better team than
Caleb Martin and Tyler Herro. Are you sure about that?
And even Bam Adebayo.
Shut your mouth.
But they barely made the playoffs. Like, I mean, I've talked very highly of the Lakers, which I'm surprised that this Jedi mind reverse here by you two. But I've spoken very highly of the Lakers. They barely made the playoffs. Now all of a sudden, like, the Nuggets have trouble with them, and they're, like, head and shoulders better than the Celtics. I just don't see it.
They the Heat really didn't have trouble with them. They beat them 3-1 in the first round. I wouldn't call that having trouble.
Well,
there were a couple
4-1.
Close games.
There were two games that were about to go to overtime, and
4-1.
Murray hit game winners. So those were close games. And the caller's right. The Lakers led most of those games. Now, they blew them. They lost
them. They choked in every game.
Okay. But shouldn't they not have any trouble with the 8 seed? The Celtics did lose a game, but the Celtics have had way less. And Miami's not as good as the Lakers. I'll grant you that. But the Celtics have won in 3 blowouts. Justin is in Boston. Go ahead, Justin.
How you guys doing? I just want to make this quick. Give me like 30 seconds. I'll land. Reiterating the fact that the Celtics are out Porzingis. I think that they'll be fine, especially closing to the East with everybody being injury riddled. I feel like the injury to Porzingis isn't as impactful for the team, but it'll be better for the Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown because they're star players. And I feel like without him being there, with their contract and them being the all-stars, they can then go be the players that they need to be. I believe that, like, they have this whole sacrifice thing and they bought into that, which is cool, and I get that. I love that. But now with him out, it's like, okay, like, you guys have to be the players that you were in 2022 to be that and to win a championship. And I also believe that the key factor to us winning the championship is going to be Jrue Holiday. Because
yeah, so look, they have other guys would be my point. And so, look, I've complained a lot about Marcus Smart in the past and how he's gotten in the way. But that was always through the lens of it being a I think Tatum deferred to him. Like, I don't think that was all about Marcus Smart. That was about Tatum deferring to him. And Tatum was awful in those NBA finals. And so making it about Porzingis means you don't think they were good enough to win the title last year. I do. They didn't. But I think they were good enough to win the title. They were definitely good enough to win it 2 years ago. They were up 2-1 on the Warriors. And they led in game four, at home. They were about to take a 3-1 lead. So I think those teams could have won without Porzingis. They don't need Porzingis. We can get back into this with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937.
They think they need Porzingis.
Do they?
That's why they went out and traded for him, I would think, because they didn't win without him. Even though you think they could have, they didn't. And so they went out and traded for him they can win. That's why they did that.
Porzingis is a good player. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but they went out and got him because they wanted to get a good player. But that I don't think they thought Porzingis was the difference between a championship and not. Purely by himself? I think a lot of fans thought that too. Then why'd they add Jrue Holiday after they already had Porzingis?
Because he was available.
I mean, yeah, they went with that too. They had more than him, but I think that Porzingis was the bigger signing between the two of those guys. Come on.
No, I think Porzingis is good. He's maybe their four. I'll make him their five by the end of this week. Let's go to Rob Bradford, WEEI, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He joins us here on WEEI. What's up, Rob?
McFarland. I'm standing on the Fenway field yelling McFarland.
No, you know what? Shame on me. I didn't do your read. Rob Bradford presented by who, Rob?
McFarland. McFarland Energy, the finest people around.
They're the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil, including BioHeat, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradfo, a lot of roster updates with the Red Sox today. Let's start with Vaughn Grissom. He was supposed to be in the lineup tonight. Now he's not. What the heck's going on there?
Flu. So it's sick, you know, it's like, it just keeps coming, right? You want to see this guy play. And the fact is, I actually did go to Worcester and seen him play. And I'll say this, I think if he can stay healthy, he's going to be a really interesting guy. He's, in case you haven't seen him play, he's, you know, 6'2", 6'3", but super athletic and an offensive player. So I think it's going to be, I think the dynamic with him and Rafaela in the middle of the diamond, I think just run it out there. Just run it out there. See what you got. Run with it. And I think it's some upside there.
Bradfo, Tanner Houck continues to be one of the best stories of this season. Do you think the way he's playing right now is something that is sustainable through the rest of the season, or at least the majority of the season? Has he uncovered something real with Coach Andrew Bailey, or do you think he's bound to come back to earth at some point?
You know what he is, Mego? He's the Derek White of the Red Sox.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, this happens sometimes, right? I mean, you sort of get to the point in your career, and you evolve, and you evolve, and you evolve, and then you have the right coach, and it works out. I mean, in the case of Tanner Houck, the right coach ended up being Andrew Bailey. You know, obviously, with Derek White, the right coach ended up being Missoula. But I think that sometimes we want this guy, first-round pick, to be the be-all, end-all, and then we say, oh, well, maybe he's going to be no better than a reliever. But I think at this point, from what we've seen, I don't know how we can't just say, all right, you know, this is a legit starter. And you watch him pitch, and you know, this could turn, who knows. But you watch him pitch right now, I mean, he's about as unhittable as there is in baseball, to be honest with you, right now. And that's not hyperbole. Just go look at it. He doesn't give up a run until the seventh inning of any of his outings. And you guys know this. I mean, they desperately needed that. They needed that really, really bad considering all the injuries.
Speaking of injuries, Yoshida saw a hand specialist getting an MRI tomorrow. We heard from Alex Cora.
What's the update there, if there is one that you know about, Rob? And also, big picture, what are we supposed to do? Like, what's this team supposed to do with Yoshida? They've had such a hard time sort of sliding him into the lineup. He can't play the field. They have other guys who DH. Like, what big picture, like, where do you see the Yoshida train going here?
Yeah, well, I want to make another great analogy, but I think I nailed the Missoula Hauk one.
No, it was good.
But I can't with a train, because I just feel like it's just with Yoshida, it's you know what it is? It's that thing where you have the two guys basically on the tracks and they're stranded in the middle of nowhere and all they can do is pump back and forth the levers there.
That's oh, yeah, right.
The levers. Yeah, yeah. Good.
Yeah, like the hobos.
The levers, yeah.
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 With the little bimbles.
Like, yeah, like
yeah.
Blazing. there's a Blazing Saddles reference in there somewhere. But I think that with Yoshida, even if he's healthy, it's an awkward situation because he's a platoon DH. I mean, think about that. He's a platoon DH making, you know, for a 5-year, $90 million contract. That is not how this is supposed to work out. And when they sort of went down this road and they said, all right, you know what? We're not going to sign Justin Turner. Yoshida's going to be our DH. But then they've landed at this spot, and even healthy, like I said, they're just there's a reason why he wasn't playing. It's because they had other guys who felt better against lefties, and that's an uncomfortable situation. So to answer your question, there is no easy answers. Unless this guy gets crazy hot when he gets healthy again, then that's what he's going to be, a very expensive platoon DH.
Is he going to be a problem, like personality-wise? Like, it didn't sound like he was thrilled the other day, and I know he's talking through a translator, which leaves another step in the middle, but it sounds like he wants to be out there and he's not thrilled with the situation. Is he going to be a problem?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to tell. Like you said, I was there during that scrum. It's hard to read. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you talk to Cora, and he says he's having a good communication with him, and he understands. But it's like anything. The deeper you get into something, this isn't what he came over to do. I mean, as much money as he's making, I'm sure he wants to play. So I can't answer if he's going to be a problem. My guess is that in the short term, no, it's not going to be a problem. But if you heading to next year or later in the year and you're not playing at all, then yeah, who's going to be happy about that? Considering you were hitting cleanup for Team Japan behind Shohei Ohtani a year ago.
Bradfo, Noah Kahan balanced a pitch the other day. What is the best celebrity? What is the best celebrity first pitch you've ever seen, and what's the worst?
Oh, that wasn't the worst.
By the way, my
good personal friend Noah Kahn. After
is it
he
Kahn
held
or is it Kahan?
Sure.
Who is this? Should I know who this is?
Like
who
Kahan.
Is this person?
Kahn.
They were telling me about this. Who is this?
No lie, Noah Kahn. There was 15,000 more people at Fenway Park because it was Noah Kahn bobblehead, and he was thrown at the first pitch.
Bobblehead.
He had a bobblehead.
Oh yeah.
Well, it was like an exclusive. No. It was like one of those exclusive bobbleheads they don't give the media. But I got a better thing. He held up the baseballs and boring T-shirt. That's the biggest show at Fenway this summer. I mean, that not even close, I think. The Noah Kahn. He's from Vermont. But in terms – where in Vermont?
Yeah. I'll look it up. I'm sorry. I just said
it's
that.
It's going to shock you.
I said that out loud. I meant to keep that to myself.
My fiancé is a really big fan of this guy, so
– Well, he's huge. The best and the worst. No, I mean, I had the best was one of the best I saw was the guy who did my Hall of Fame battle reveal, actor D.B. Sweeney, who made a point to throw a slider, which I thought took some gumption. But he did play Shoeless Joe Jackson in Eight Men Out. So there you go. You know, but there's I love the worst ones. This and Noah Kahn wasn't the worst, not even close. I mean, you have Fauci, you have 50 Cent, you know, there's some classic.
What about that kid who hit the guy in the junk? You remember that first pitch?
Our good friend Jordan Leandre, he's awesome. Yeah, Jordan. It was well placed, but I think that you have Sydney Sweeney was here. When was that? Last year. If I knew then what I know now, I would have probably like gone down and for the baseballs and boring shirt. I didn't even know who she was.
That would have been a good one.
That would have been a good one. It would have been. But yeah. So anyway, the takeaway from my answer. The takeaway from my answer is that you should go listen to Noah Kahan if you want to see like what all the cool kids are doing.
Okay, it is Stratford, Vermont. Stratford, Vermont is the answer to the trivia question.
Not familiar. Bradford, we heard earlier today Jorge Soler met with some reporters. I don't know if you were there for that.
Yeah,
but he said nothing got close with the Red Sox. I don't even remember them being in on him, but I wasn't surprised to hear that. How'd that news hit you?
I knew that. I knew that. Actually, there was a report. There was a couple reports, and it was right after somebody had signed. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Turner, but it was somebody signed. And like an hour later, somebody came out with a report. Red Sox heavy in on Soler, and then I found out like no, that wasn't the case. And as Jorge Soler said today, like that wasn't the case. But I'll tell you the one that a guy was here who actually was just talking to, which is why I was a little bit late. Was Jordan Hicks. So Jordan Hicks is a guy who's in the San Francisco Giants rotation right now. He was a star. He's always been a reliever throwing 100 miles an hour, and he signed a 4-year deal with the Giants, but the Red Sox basically thought they had him signed. This was of all these starters that we're talking about, you know, Yamamoto and Senga and or not Senga, but you know, all these other Imanaga, all these guys, I'm telling you what, Hicks was the guy they thought they had more than anybody. And if you go look at his numbers, they're insanely good. So I guess good for them for identifying the right guy.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford. Joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. Tuesdays at 4:30. Listen to the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. And we'll talk to you next week, Bradfo. Thanks for the time.
I will deliver a Noah Kahan bobblehead next time I see you.
Oh, thank you. Excellent. Thank you. Score one for Vermont there. So this guy's a big deal. I feel so, like, I normally feel old. I feel very, is he young? Is he, like, I've legit never heard of this person. You guys brought him up earlier.
I think he's, like, close to 30.
He's 27, but he looks young. Like he's, like, 43.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just Googled. He does not look young. He's not a young-looking man.
And he throws like a girl. It's a joke.
Steve Aoki was a bad one. Airmailed.
Okay, so
I think the
Fauci,
whole
not to make it political, but the Fauci one was pathetic.
Always make it political.
Fauci was bad. 50 Cent was really bad.
I was up in the stands.
That was a notoriously horrible one.
The Situation had a very bad opening pitch once. Yes,
the big biceps got in the way.
By the way, bad instincts by Rob. You see Sydney Sweeney and you go, let's put a T-shirt on her. Come on now, what are we doing?
You guys are being gross. Get out of here.
I get it.
Baseball isn't boring. Yeah, crop
let's,
top.
Right, let's talk about your feet some more.
The biggest,
good idea.
The biggest numbers that Baseball Isn't Boring ever would have done would have been that photo, and a major drop ball. But sure, get Noah Kahan, who I've never heard of, to hold up a T-shirt.
I don't think it's Kahan.
What
it's
is
Kahn.
It?
It's Kahn.
Spell
it's
it.
It's spelled like Kahan, okay. But Bradfo just said it's pronounced Kahn.
Okay, and they're best friends.
Yeah,
that's true.
Kahan.
I think Noah Kahan wrote a song about him.
If we're allowed to call Elliot Wolf Elliot Wolf, I think we can call him Kahan.
No, well, we're not allowed to say that. We're not allowed to say that.
You say it. What are you talking about? You say it every day.
Yeah, and I get criticized.
Well, yeah, but you're allowed. We allow it.
This guy kind of looks like Jaime Jaquez a little bit.
Does he?
Yeah, a little tiny bit. Got the facial hair. You know?
All right, I'm back in.
It kind of looks like him.
What's coming up in Triple Play?
Triple Play today. It is a over-under Tuesday, so we'll get to our normal over-unders, as we like to do. We got a couple of basketball ones, some hockey, which we haven't talked much today, and a question about the Patriots wide receivers.
Okay, that's next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
It's going to be a triple play!
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play!
The
top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mago.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best. Triples makes it safe. And the 99 restaurant now has early week supper specials. Bring the family and enjoy a delicious roast turkey dinner every Sunday, hearty meatloaf every Monday, and crispy spinach and artichoke chicken every Tuesday. That's the one I like. You got to love the nines. All right, Jones and Mago, it is an over-under Tuesday, so let's get to some over-unders.
Number one.
Mego, we start with you. He has zero through four games so far, but how many 30-point games or 30-plus point games will Jason Tatum have in the playoffs? The over-under is 5.5.
Okay, I'm going to take the over only because it's going to be, I do believe it's going to be such a long playoff run that they're going to get back to the finals and they're going to be in the finals, and he's going to have a couple of statement games. I'm the same person, though, who told you in Bet Roulette last night to definitely take the over when the line was 25 for Tatum, and then it moved to 26, and I was like, I'm hammering the over. So I guess I just continue to take that. I think Tatum's been pretty quiet in this series overall. He's getting absolutely triple-teamed, like, nonstop last night, and just going to whatever outlet there was, which was usually Derek White. But we'll see going forward.
Anybody else need six in the first quarter from Tatum? Anybody else need that?
Yes.
You raise your hand over there?
Yes.
That last possession was just pathetic, but not that I care. I'll take the over on those 30-point games for Tatum. Look, this postseason run's going to be about him. They're not going to have Porzingis, I don't think, for a while. That doesn't mean he won't return. I know Porzingis tweeted out he's fine, or as Arcam put it, future tense, will be fine. I think Porzingis will return at some point. Maybe it's the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe it's the NBA Finals. I think he'll be back. I don't think this is a season-ending injury. But I wouldn't expect to see him for the rest of this Miami series, which makes sense. It's over tomorrow. And I probably wouldn't expect to see him the round after that. Then come talk to me in the Eastern Conference Final. In the meantime, they got to lean on Tatum. I think he'll start putting up some numbers. He's going to have to start putting up some numbers. Over.
All right, let's get to over under number two.
Number two.
All right, Jones, we'll start with you on this one. A Patriots question. How many wide receivers from last year will be on this year's Patriots roster? The over under is 3.5, and I'm talking about a pool of Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas, Smith-Schuster, Thornton, Rager, and Butte.
Oh, under. Pop Douglas and Bourne? And I don't even know that I feel strongly about Bourne being on the roster. So give me Pop Douglas.
What do you mean? They just gave him a new deal.
Yeah, but I don't know that I feel completely strong he's going to be on this roster.
What? Why would they extend him if he's not going to be on the roster?
I don't know. Maybe they trade him. Maybe they cut him. They just drafted two receivers. If they're so in love with Kendrick Bourne, why are they drafting two receivers highly? So I'm just telling you I'm not sold he's on, but I said those are the two names I locked in on. I'm not 100% sold he's on the roster. I think Juju's gone. Who are some of the other ones you just gave me?
Tyquan Thornton.
Gone.
Jalen Rager.
Gone.
Kayshawn Booty.
Gone. So, like, I'm under no matter what. I'm just telling you, I'm not totally sold Kendrick Bourne's going to be on the team.
They also have to make room for K.J. Osborne, conceivably.
Yep, so, but that's not a return player. So,
but I'm saying one of these guys would have to go.
Pop Douglas, theory. Lock. The two rookies are locks. I just wouldn't put Bourne in a lock category, but he's probably on the team. Osborne's probably the other one. All those other guys are gone. Exactly. So, under. 3.5 for sure.
So, I'm going to go with 3, also the under. Bourne and Douglas are both going to be on, and I think they're going to actually play. Smith-Schuster, that contract just sucks. And they didn't do what they did with Devontae Parker. Like, I think that it, for whatever reason, the front office is going to think that it's an idiotic play to let him go and just eat the cash. That's what I would do because I really didn't think he added anything last year.
Well, how many receivers do you think they're going to have on the team?
I don't know. Like, I'm just looking at who's here and who they would bounce down to practice squad.
If it's 5, well, Baker's, you're not going to be able to get Baker or a guy like that to the practice squad. So if it's 5, I think it's the two rookies. Pop Douglas, Bourne, probably, and K.J. Osborne. And so there's your 5. If you think it's going to be 6, maybe Smith-Schuster's on the team. No one's trading for Juju.
Yeah.
Nobody. So it'd have to be a cut, and I think they're going to cut him.
All right.
I kind of hope they do. Sorry. I just didn't enjoy him last year.
Let's go to over-under number 3.
Number 3.
Okay, Mego, back to you. How many playoff wins will Jeremy Swayman finish this playoff run with? The over-under is 8.5. He's currently at 3 wins.
Okay, so I'm taking the over because I think what will happen is they finish it off tonight so I can go see the Zendaya movie Challengers on Thursday about the tennis threesome. Uh-huh. And then they get through the next round, so 4 wins. Maybe, let's say 3 because maybe they try throwing Omar in there again. And then maybe there's 2 more wins. So what does that put us at? That puts us at 9? Yeah, 9.
I lost count.
So I think it's narrowly over. I think that he gets through.
Stop listening after you said threesomes.
I was confused by the math.
Basically 3 rounds, but only narrowly over the 8.5.
Yeah, I'll take over 8.5 wins. Again, he's already got 3. Chalk him up for 1 here tonight. Then they're through to the next round, and let's see how deep of a run they can go on. If you, Arcan said this yesterday, I think it's accurate. If you have the best goalie in the NHL, you can go on a run. There's no reason to sit him. He's playing like he's the best goalie. They have high-end offensive talent with Pastrnak and Marchand. I think they have enough on the back end. I'll take the over.
All right. I agreed with you on all three of those. That's why I didn't chime in. I agreed with you on over 5.5 for 30-point games. I'm thinking under on the wide receivers, and I think over on the Swayman win. So
okay.
That's the reason why I didn't say much.
A lot of agreement, which is different than how we feel about Kristaps Porzingis.
True.
Mike's in Leominster. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Hey, Adam. Haven't talked to you in a while. Last time was when you were on 98.5 in the evenings.
Oh, okay.
Before I get to that.
I remember that.
Gee Willikers.
I don't remember.
Gee Willikers. What are we going to do now? Gee Willikers. Anyway.
We did used to say that. Yeah.
What's that? No, seriously. Seriously. I think they're going to be in trouble. And, teams that have length. Horford played a heck of a game last night, but 37 years old. He's going to wear down, and he has other years. And, I just think they've got a depth problem. I don't think they've got the quality depth on the bench. You know, Hauser, as good as he's been this year, is inconsistent, especially in the big games.
Who does Denver have on their bench?
I don't know, but I really liked his voice.
Christian Brown.
It was a very deep voice.
Reggie Jackson.
Right. And so it's like, I don't know, like
Peyton
Pritchard.
Watson.
Pritchard
sometimes.
Or Reggie Jackson. Toss up. You know.
Oh, that's not a toss up.
Who?
That's easily Peyton Pritchard.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
Reggie
Jackson,
so that's though. Fine. Look, Reggie Jackson can go off and have some big offensive games. It's like Christian Braun or Sam Hauser, and I call him Braun. I hate that he pronounces his name Brown, and he's so annoying. He's one of the more annoying players in the league. I talked about this in the finals last year.
Khan or Kahan?
Both. And so, I don't think the Celtics have a depth problem. If we're focused on their depth, we're focused on the wrong thing. Tatum and Brown need to lead them to a championship. It's not about the coach. It's not about the depth. It's definitely not about their bench. It's about those two. So are they going to step up? Or are we just going to blame everybody else again?
DeAndre Jordan.
617-779-7937. I do kind of like Peyton Watson. I'll give you that one. Meanwhile, we'll get back to all your feedback here. We'll also circle back to the draft. Drake May wants to play week one, assuming he wins the quarterback competition. Are the Patriots going to follow through on their word? That's next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.